Go back to Jude, starting in verse 7. Even as Sodom and Gomorrah and the cities round about them in like manner, giving themselves over to strange fornication, going after strange flesh, are set forth for an example, suffering the vengeance of eternal life.
Eternal fire.
Likewise also, these filthy dreamers defile the flesh, despise dominion, and speak evil of dignities. Yet Michael the archangel, when contending with the devil, he disputed about the body of Moses and durst not bring against him a railing accusation, but said, "The Lord rebuke thee." Now, this sounds like it has nothing to do with us until you start finding out what it means in verse 8. Defile the flesh, despise dominion, speak evil of dignities, the filthy dreamers. And filthy dreamers are still the ones that follow their great minds. And we can't possibly think that could be true, because we followed our minds all our life. But anyway, we're going on. Yet Michael the archangel, when contending with the devil, he disputed about the body of Moses, durst not bring against him a railing accusation, but said, "The Lord rebuke thee." In other words, we can't even rebuke Satan. I mean, speak evil of him. If we're going to say something, we say, "The Lord rebuke thee." Now that sounds crazy. Everybody's, you know, they speak evil of the devil in 10,000 ways.
The whole thing in word faith movement is you've got to say, "I rebuke you, devil." It's not like this at all.
And it's just a sham.
Yeah.
But you're doing something.
The essence is the. You're taking things into your own hands and determining what you think is bad, whereas God may have created the situation using the devil for his own purposes. And for you to jump in there on your own and say, "That's bad, I rebuke you, devil," you're planting God. Then if you say, "The Lord rebuke you, the Lord," then you're acquiescing to whatever God's ways.
Amen. Anyway, "But these speak evil of those things which they know not, but what they know naturally is brute beast, and those things they corrupt themselves." Now, this is the commonplace. You speak evil of those things which you know not, but what things you know naturally is brute beast. In other words, what you know naturally by your mind. And so you become just a brute beast because you're making judgments after your own mind.
Yeah, this is kind of the opposite of deny yourself, pick up your cross, and follow me. This is
woe unto them, for they have gone the way of Cain, and ran greedily after the error of Balaam for reward, and perished in the gainsaying of Korah. Anybody know what you want to, do we need to talk about those? We probably do. Let's look at verse 10. Speak evil is the word blasphemo, where we get the word blasphemy. And so, Yeah, that gives railing accusations another dimension, because railing accusations, but blasphemy is another thing. Because if you're blaspheming even Satan, you're blaspheming the instrument of God. And again, I can remember all of those. I went to somewhere between 100 and 200 churches after that conversion experience, trying to find a church. I wished I would have found one. Then I wouldn't have to do one. But anyway, I mean, that's all they did. It's whenever I went to a charismatic church, they were always speaking evil of some aspect of Satan or demons or something. It's just crazy. Do you understand that Satan is doing God's work? He's the one that provides the temptation, the same testing that Jesus Christ went through, to see, trying to make Christ do anything where he had to lean on his own arm of understanding. I mean, this is as critical as a disciple as it gets.
I think you have to give him his due, in a sense.
You have to what?
Give him his due. Give him the importance of knowing that he's been at it a long time. He knows you intimately. He can pull your strings easily. And if you are not aware or alive or responsible to God, you're likely to take, and that's what falling away is all about.
What, it's the evidence that...
At his will, yeah.
Yeah, it's the test of whether or not you're living by faith or living by senses.
Right.
Anyway. Speak evil of dignities.
Let me make one more comment. It's like, it's the subtlety that I think we forget about. He's very subtle. He was subtle back in the garden. He's still subtle. Yeah. And it's so...
The subtlety is the mind.
Yeah. Well, that's where he resides.
But that's who he is. But we are his dominion. I mean, we are his instruments. And that doesn't compute. So our only way to get around this is seeing that you're dead and buried in Christ. And if you start doing this, you know you've resurrected the evil one.
Isn't this what denial of self, you know, where that takes place?
Well, it's denial is total abandonment. That's what the word deny means. Apodiomize. That's taking absolutely no thought for you or yours in any way. All right. As brute beasts, because you're making judgments by your own senses. The corrupt themselves means they bring on themselves their own ruin spiritually. Now verse 11. Woe unto them, for they have gone the way of Cain. Let's stop there. How do they go the way of Cain? Anybody?
Cain's way was to exert himself religiously, I believe, thinking he would please God by his efforts and his...
Well, it's partly that, but the greater part of the way of Cain is he's making an offering to God by the fruit of his labor, by the fruit of the flesh. instead of having the only way you can make an offering to God is the death. So he kept was trying to keep himself alive. He was very spiritual. He knew what he was doing was to give God the glory. And that was really big of him, but he was doing something which had been forbidden. This bring to anybody else.
I've got a little cane in me. He's not doing it now.
Every time you see the word woe in the scriptures, especially here it says woe, it's an interjection to be prepared to be denounced. If you remember chapter 23 well, let's just look there real quick because this is important. Matthew 23. Let's just start in verse 14 and read for a little bit. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites. And verse 15, woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees. 16, woe unto you, blind guides. Woe unto you. Well, you get the picture. It's to prepare you to be denounced is what really the word woe means. Prepare yourself to whatever. Back to Jude. Woe unto them, for they have gone the way of Cain. Now this is the way. He is the way, the truth, and the life. So it's always the way. We have two choices. We go the way of Cain or we go the way of Abel. Now, how do we know? Well, the word way here in Hebrew in Greek is hodos. And it's the same. I am the way, the truth, and the life. He is the only way. And everything else is the way of Cain. You can't go the way of Christ unless you have abandoned yourself totally. That you give no thought about or for or in any way. Because all the ways where you have to use your mind in any way are the way of Cain. Instead of the way of Christ. He is the way, the only way. Everybody get that clearly? Now, Christ gave breath to everything in the world, both not only in his world, but Satan showed them all the kingdoms of the world from the beginning to the end. But it's so easy and so natural to go the way of Cain. I've done it a bunch of times lately, trying to solve Trinity Foundation's money problems. And all of it just, fortunately, it failed. And that caused me to see I was going the way of Cain. Does that communicate? Anybody else gone the way of Cain lately? Well, can you see how evil the way of Cain is? You're a believer. You believe in God. But you're still going the way of Cain because you're leaning on your own arm of understanding for anything. You I mean, this is where that this is the dividing line. You can talk about being saved all you want, but that's not the point. The point is, are you allowing Him to be the way? Or are you interceding with your own way? And if it came from your mind, you know it's your own way. You've gone the way of Cain. There's no in between. I want somebody to tell me, well, there must be a way you came. Well, there is. While you're still a pagan, hopefully you came out of that as a believer, because you've seen. That's why only the poor are chosen, the ones that have come out of the world, because there's nothing in the world that satisfies them or that gives them sustenance.
Aren't these the kind of experiences that we should be thankful for rather than despise?
No, you should repent.
Well, you repent at the right time. Just for example, you probably went deep into the pit of self trying to make this thing work to the point where you can, where you were able to make a confession that makes sense.
Well, I made the confession all the time, but I still ended up going that way.
And so
because there was a big need. So rather than trust in Him, I always, not always, but a great many times in the last few years, I've gone the way of Cain. And then unfortunately, it didn't work. But I didn't repent of going the way of Cain, because it looked like it was going to work. But in His wisdom, something always happened. A lot of times it was my own stupidity, but...
Yeah.
Well, we met with one of the biggest churches, one of the most important churches in terms of, anyway, Pete went to school with the pastor, and so, and I was an asshole. But it.
Yeah, we tried, he even set us up with some rich investors, but they just, more interested in funding that huge $110 million building they built downtown.
And no.
Isn't this connected to the Lord rebuke thee? As opposed to, I'm doing the wrong thing. It puts it
I
back
don't
in,
understand.
It puts it back in God's hands that you went the way of Cain, because God needed you to communicate something deeper than you saw before. So to despise the experience and say it was wrong, you're saying, I rebuke you, Satan.
No, I'm not. I'm saying I need to repent.
Okay.
It's not, it wasn't, Satan didn't have anything to do with it.
Who did?
One of his dominions, naming my mind.
Which is?
The way of Cain. That's why I had to try it, though. I've tried it a million times. But I don't run around rebuking Satan. I say, Father, forgive me. I have to see. I can't rebuke a dead man if I have been buried in baptism. Then that this is supposed to have been gone, this thing. And I live by faith alone. Whenever I don't live by faith alone, then I have to repent. But if I ever, I can justify it, but that's, I don't need to talk about that. You can justify it 1,000 ways, but I'll keep going now.
I was thinking about when Jesus, when Lazarus was sick, and he waited, I can imagine what all my mind would have said, you know, what are people going to think if I wait? What's going to happen to Lazarus? He's really sick.
Well, just look at what the Martha and Mary said to him.
Yeah. If he had come here.
You've only been here. Why didn't you come?
Yeah. and he was waiting in faith.
He just doesn't care.
All right, they've gone the way of Cain. Everybody understand what the way of Cain is? And ran greedily after the heir of Balaam for reward. The ran greedily is ekios. And it's going, running head first. You got it. You're doing a good thing. You're planning something. You got a great deal. It's running head first into the way of Cain in order for you to gain something. Now, remember, the two things that Jesus said he hated were the doctrine of the Nicolaitans and what else?
The doctrine of Balaam.
The doctrine of Balaam. They've gone, ran greedily after the heir of Balaam for reward. In other words, and that's effectively placing yourself in politics so that it can help you. And Ryan, and Nicolaitans, you preach the success in the name of God. You give God all the glory whenever you make a touchdown and you put your finger up. But you never give God the glory when you fumble. That's when you should put your finger up.
Is Baal not cause and effect? Isn't that what we say? Or cliche?
Well, it's because here and in Revelation it's very specific. Self-realization is condemned, but here it may not be self-realization for self. It may be in what you think something needs to happen. We need to change the government, or we need to do this. All right. Perished in the gainsaying of Korah. Let's go to we'll go quickly to gainsaying of Korah. Go to number 16.
Where'd we go?
Number 16.
Have to spend more than just a few minutes here. Chapter 16, verse 1. Wait a minute. You have a page number? You got it?
175.
Now Korah, the son of Izhar, the son of Kohath, the son of Levi, and Dathan and Abimram, whatever that is, the sons of Eliada, anyway, and On, the son of Peleth, sons of Reuben, took men, and they rose up before Moses with certain of the children of Israel, 250 princes of the assembly, famous in the congregation, men of renown. And they gathered themselves together against Moses and against Aaron, and said unto them, "You take too much upon you, seeing all the congregation are holy, every one of them, and the Lord is among them. Wherefore then lift up you yourselves? Wherefore lift ye up yourselves above the congregation of the Lord?" And when Moses heard it, he fell upon his face. And he spake unto Korah and unto all the company, saying, "Even tomorrow the Lord will show who are his and who is holy, and will cause him to come near unto him, even him who he hath chosen. He will cause to come near unto him. This do, take your censers, Korah, and all his company, and put fire therein, and put incense in them before the Lord tomorrow. And it shall be that the man whom the Lord doth choose, he shall be holy. You take too much upon you sons of Levi. Remember, the sons of Levi are the priests, right? In one way or another, always. All right. And Moses said unto Korah, hear, I pray you, you sons of Levi. Verse 9, seeth it but a small thing when you take, say it's a small thing upon you from the congregation. I can't even read here. I think my Bible has gotten screwy. Yeah, somebody else read from verse 8.
I'll read.
Okay.
And Moses said unto Korah, hear, I pray you, ye sons of Levi, seeing it but a small thing unto you that the God of Israel hath separated you from the congregation of Israel, to bring you near to himself to the service of the tabernacle of the Lord, and to stand before the congregation to minister unto them. He hath brought thee near to him, and all thy brethren, the sons of Levi, with thee, and seek ye the priesthood also. For which cause both and all thy company are gathered together against the Lord. And what is Aaron that you murmur against him? And Moses sent to Dathan and Abiram, the sons of Eliab, which said, we will not come up. Is it a small thing that thou hast brought us up out of the land that floweth with milk and honey to kill us in the wilderness, except thou make thyself altogether a prince over us? Moreover, thou hast not brought us into a land that floweth with milk and honey, or given us inheritance of fields and vineyards. Wilt thou put out the eyes of these men? We will not come up. And Moses was very wroth and said unto the Lord, respect not thou their offering. I have not taken one ass from them, neither have I hurt one of them. And Moses said unto Korah, be thou and all thy company before the Lord, thou, and they and Aaron tomorrow. And take every man his censer, and put incense in them, and bring ye before the Lord every man his censer, 250 censers, thou also and Aaron, each of you his censer. And they took every man his censer and put fire in them and laid incense thereon and stood in the door of the tabernacle of the congregation with Moses and Aaron. And Korah gathered all the congregation against them unto the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. And the glory of the Lord appeared unto all the congregation. And the Lord spake unto Moses and Aaron, saying, separate yourselves from among this congregation that I may consume them in a moment. And they fell upon their faces and said, O God, the God of the spirits of all flesh, shall one man sin, and wilt thou be wroth with all the congregation? And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto the congregation, saying, get you up from about the tabernacle of Korah, Dathan, and Abiram. And Moses rose up and went unto Dathan and Abiram, and the elders of Israel followed him. And he spake unto the congregation, saying, depart, I pray you, from the tents of these wicked men, and touch nothing of theirs, lest you be consumed in all their sins. So they get up from the tabernacle of Korah, Dathan, and Abiram, on every side. And Dathan and Abiram came out and stood in the door of their tents, and their wives, and their sons, and their little children. And Moses said, hereby you shall know that the Lord hath sent me to do all these works, for I have not done them of my own hand.
Mind. That's important.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm sorry.
All right. If these men die the common death of all men, or if they be visited after the visitation of all men, then the Lord hath not sent me. But if the Lord make a new thing, and the earth open her mouth, and swallow them up, with all that appertaineth unto them, and they go down quick into the pit, then you shall understand that these men have provoked the Lord. Came to pass, as he had made an end of speaking all these words, that the ground clave asunder that was under them, and the earth opened her mouth and swallowed them up, and their houses and all the men that appertained unto Korah and all their goods. They and all that appertained to them went down alive into the pit, and the earth closed upon them, and they perished from among the congregation. And all Israel that were round about them fled at the cry of them, for they said, lest the earth swallow us up also. And there came out a fire from the Lord and consumed the 250 men that offered incense. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto Eleazar, the son of Aaron, the priest, that he take up the censers out of the burning, and scatter it out of the fire yonder, for they are hallowed. The censers of the sinners against their own souls, let them make them broad plates for a covering of the altar, for they offered them before the Lord. Therefore they are hallowed, and they shall be a sign unto the children of Israel. And Eleazar the priest took the brazen censers wherewith they that were burnt had offered, and they were made broad plates for a covering of the altar, to be a memorial unto the children of Israel, that no stranger which is not of the seed of Aaron come near to them to offer incense before the Lord, that he be not as Korah and as his company, as the Lord said to him by the hand of Moses. But on the morrow all the congregation of the children of Israel murmured against Moses and against Aaron, saying, you have killed the people of the Lord.
No, that's all right. That's enough. I just wanted you to get this picture with the 250 had their censers and their wives and children. And what is that? What is the censers here?
Well, they all put their own incense in them censers.
The censer's purpose is to say, show us what faith is, as opposed to the censer is always about faith alone, instead of, and the illegal censers are the ones of the mind, where you use a censer. So the censer and remember the altar of incense, that's our prayers. And we're either praying to the God that we hope is there, or we're praying to the true God. And there's no in between. And this was done for our benefit. And it's a biggie. And this is why I've said so often, there are no private interpretations of Scripture. And that's what that violates everything. That's why it says throughout the Scriptures we have one mind, of one mind, of one mind, of one mind. And so it's critical that if you're not, that everything should stop. Anyway, I hope that's in Jude for a purpose. This is a huge deal.
Wasn't there something, another part, the incense put in a censer had to come from the altar to be holy. Moses told them to put incense, their own incense, into the censer.
Well, they were all priests. Remember that.
Well, the way I'm hearing it, it's like each one had his own thoughts about how things should be.
Well, that's why they used the censer. The priests were... nobody had censers except the priests.
That's what I'm talking about.
Yeah. You're right. It's all about paying attention to your own thoughts by your senses, as opposed to living by faith. That's what's
the parable. This is a parable, and that's what the censer is. It's a parable of the mind, which we taught. You
right.
taught.
That's evil
you
above
just
all things.
What you taught. But in the there's somewhere where it talks about the ashes of the red heifer and touched by the blood. That's the incense that was acceptable to be put into the censer. And, you know where I'm going with it. It's not about you individually and your thoughts about how things are. This is all about one mind.
That's right.
But it's God's. It's all about God's mind, and that parable goes to the ashes of the red heifer and where the incense comes from.
The ashes of the red heifer don't have to do with the incense. They have to do with the cleansing.
Okay.
If you
maybe make some parables.
Yeah, but it's still... You're
the same thing. It's the idea of expressing love.
Right. But no, I understand what you're saying, but you have mixed metaphors there, because one, the incense, one's the house of red heifer. But always the incense represents the prayers of the faithful. And here, the incense, he showed that it represented only the prayers of the faithful, because all they weren't ended up toasts.
Yeah.
Anyhow. Okay. But that's why, again, it's got to come back that we be of, everything should be striving to be of one mind. One mind. One mind. The predicate for that being of one mind is you have to see your death is total. Amen. All right, take a big guy.